Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. I'm so happy to be here on another week with you as we dive into God's Word, being inspired by what Jesus is saying to us, encountering Him in His Word, and growing in transformation in the image of Christ. And we have another great week. We had a great week last week, and we're going to have another great week here again. Last week, if you didn't join us, we were in Revelation chapter 21, which I would encourage you to go back and spend some time there. And last week, I was encouraging Walt to pray for Pine Hills Girls Camp that was happening. And so this is the week after. Thank you for so many of your prayers, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of the graces throughout the weeks to come. But this week, we're going to spend some time in 1 Peter. And if you've been with us on this journey at all, you know, since January, as we've been going through God's Word, we've spent a lot of time in the words of Jesus, and we've spent a lot of time with St. Paul, because St. Paul has so many books. He has a lot of writing. He has such deep theology, but so does St. Peter. And so we're going to spend some time today just at the beginning and throughout our week, not just today, at the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, and dive into the richness of our identity in Christ, what Christ has done for us, and what that means for us. And you might say, that sounds familiar. That sounds like what we do with Paul. That sounds like what Paul's writing. That sounds like what Jesus says. And what we see in the scriptures over and over again really is this model of the apostles who are writing, whether it's John writing in Revelation, whether it's Luke writing in Acts, or Paul writing in his epistles, or Peter writing in what we're going to see today, is over and over and over again the encouragement that he sends to the people, that he gives to the people over and over and over again, is remember who you are. It's like that's, you know, that scene in The Lion King where Simba's like looking out on the water and the reflection of Mufasa appears, and then James Earl Jones' voice comes over and it's like, Simba, remember who you are. You know, like that wasn't a very good James Earl Jones. But you get the picture. You know, you can probably hear it in your head. And so this is like what Paul and Peter and the apostles are doing for the people that they're writing to, and consequently to us, is reminding us this is who you are. Not so that we can be puffed up, not so that we can say, oh, like I'm so great, but so that we can lean into who God really created us to be, so we can live a transformed life. Amen. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, but I want to do our psalm. We've been praying in the Psalms. And again, I'm going to skip to Psalm 60 and kind of start on a fresh, even psalm, even if we didn't necessarily leave off at Psalm 60. I'm going to read a little bit of Psalm 60 and we're going to pray. So if you want to join me in prayer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. Oh, restore us. You have made the land quake. You have rent it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people suffer hard things. You have given us wine to drink that made us reel. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, to rally to it from the bow, that your beloved may be delivered. Give victory by your right hand in answer to us. God has spoken in his sanctuary. With exultation, I will divide up Shechem and portion out the vale of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbasin, upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go forth, O Lord, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the help of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who treads on our foes. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and you are the captain of the armies of heaven. You are the leader of the universe, and you go before us. You go before us in our sufferings. You go before us with our enemies. So Lord, we just give you this day. We give you this time as we open up this word. We ask that you would speak to us, that you would anchor us more deeply in what it means to know you and what it means to be loved by you, that we would actually be transformed by this reality, that we would begin to live differently. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's interesting in the Psalms. I feel like over the last couple of weeks, we've gotten Psalms on each day that we're like, oh, this is so relatable. And then some of the Psalms are really like direct in terms of exactly what's happening at the time. You know, so clearly Israel is going to war and David is writing a psalm to ask God to help them in the specific war against the Philistines. And so sometimes it's a little harder for us to relate to that, but we can still pray it. Of like the spirit of this is at the beginning, David's like, you have totally abandoned us. You've totally abandoned us to our sufferings. You've totally abandoned us to this place where we can't win, where we're alone. And then he goes back and he's like, but the Lord sets up a banner for those who fear him that they can find protection. And so it's David showing that even in these really practical things, like they're in a war and he's saying, God, I feel like you abandoned us, but I will hope in God, but I will trust in God, but I will have faith in God. So that's something we can take of saying the Lord sets a banner over those who fear him. And so Lord, to help us develop holy fear of God, that we may live under the protection and the refuge of the Lord. So let's go ahead. We're going to read a little bit of 1 Peter 1 and just begin to break it down and see where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to open it. If not, you can go back to it later. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, chosen and destined by God, the Father, and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with an unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. That was a big chunk. That was 1-9, but I want to go through a little bit. We're going to take it piece by piece. And again, I think it's important for us to sometimes read larger chunks of scripture so we learn to chew on bigger pieces of the word. So Peter, it says, Peter, an apostle, and he starts with his greeting. He says, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus. So it's these Jews and these believers in Jesus that have dispersed through all these different places. And so he's saying the diaspora in Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, into all of these places. He's writing this letter. And so this letter went out to the Jews of the diaspora in all of these places. And so he's saying, first and foremost, I need to remind you of your identity. Because they were dispersed, they weren't all like in one community. They were living amongst areas in which their identity was not the main identity. In Galatia, the identity of a Christian at that time, a Jewish Christian, was not the main identity. They were dispersed from among each other. So it wasn't like, oh, all of these people that are running in this massive community together. So Peter's saying, the first thing I have to do is I have to remind you of who you are. And I love this. I was reading this morning, and it's such a convicting greeting. Like, this is Peter's hello. This is his intro. This is like his to whom it may concern, is this couple verses. And then he's saying, to all of you who are dispersed, chosen and destined by the Father, and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is his intro. He's reminding them, he's saying, although you are not with your people, you need to remember what is your identity. And what is your identity? First of all, chosen and destined by the Father. that you may be in all these different places. You may be in exile. You may be far away from your temple. You may be forgetting who you are, but this is who you are. You are chosen by God. Does this sound familiar? This sounds a little bit like Paul in Ephesians. Chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. And because we see this multiple times in the scriptures, this is something that the Holy Spirit is telling us to take to heart. That Peter is also talking to us here. And so what do I know about my identity? First and foremost, I know that I am chosen by God. That before the foundation of the world, I am chosen by God. That he saw me before I was born, before I was knit together in my mother's womb. Before you were knit together in your mother's womb, you were in the mind of God. God chose to create you. He chose to piece you together. He chose to place you in your life. He chose to put you in the circumstances that you're in, and he chose to draw you to himself. He chose you. I think there's a lot of our lives in which we don't feel chosen. We don't feel like we're the best at work. We don't feel like we're as good as our siblings. We feel all of these different things. We feel excluded. We don't feel like we're the one who's being chosen. But the reality that Peter's speaking over these people that are dispersed among the nations, he's saying, remember that James Earl Jones, remember who you are. You are chosen. God chose you to belong to him. That's powerful. That's something we can root ourselves in. And he continues on. He says, not only are you chosen, but you're destined by God the Father. So God chooses you and then he destines you for glory. When God takes us out of where we are, he chooses us for himself. And he says, now that I've chosen you, that you've become mine, your destiny is different. What is entailed in being chosen by God is saying now your destiny, where you are going, is different. And this is actually part of your identity, that as a child of God, you are now meant to be in heaven with God forever. You're meant to belong to him, which lasts into eternity. So not only do you belong to him, but you're destined for glory. You are going somewhere new. So today, as you're driving to work, as you're walking into a challenging situation, as you're feeling tired, as you're fighting the internal battles within you for who you are, say, I am chosen and I am destined. God wants me. He desires me and he's sending me on a path to heaven to be with him forever. I am going somewhere. I'm going somewhere, and that somewhere is to belong to Jesus forever. This is what I'm rooted in. This is what I'm grounded in. And friends, this makes a difference. This makes a massive difference in our lives. Chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit. Sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means to be made holy. To be set apart when instruments that are used for the mass or that were used for sacrifice in the temple, they were sanctified, which means they were set apart. You're chosen by God. You're destined by the Father to be with him forever. And you're made holy by the Holy Spirit. God has set you apart. And so if you're doubting, who am I? What is the value of my life? Where am I going to take that to the bank? I want to finish this sentence tomorrow because it's so good what Peter has to say. So we're going to stop in the middle of the sentence. But to take to the bank today, friends, I am chosen and destined by God, and I am sanctified by the Spirit. This is who you are. Be rooted and grounded in it today. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.